This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. On Tuesday, President Trump signed an executive order that demands broad changes to how elections are run in the United States. Critics say this order is overreaching and unconstitutional, but if allowed to stand, it would block millions of qualified Americans from being able to vote in federal elections. Trump is ordering voters to show proof that they are U.S. citizens before they can register for federal elections. Count only mail or absentee ballots received by Election Day, set new rules for voting equipment, and prohibit non-U.S. citizens from being able to donate in certain elections. To tell us more about this executive order and what it means, we're joined by Sean Morales-Doyle. He is the director of the Brenham Center for Justice Voting Rights Program. And Sean, welcome back to The Source.
Thanks for having me back. Good to talk to you.
This executive order that we're getting from Donald Trump, we can talk about it, you know, break it down, but just the spirit of it being that the president making this as an executive order. The Constitution clearly has said that the states are able to put together or run the elections. This is what this is a states' rights issue. And this is what conservatives and Republicans have pointed to time and time again whenever there have been efforts by Democrats in order to expand voting rights. So does that seem ironic?
It does. I want to be clear that I think the Constitution actually gives both states and Congress the power to regulate the time, place, and manner of federal elections. And so I don't agree with the argument that somehow it would be inappropriate for Congress to do that, which has been made by folks.
Right.
Congress absolutely has the authority to do that. But the Constitution does not give the president any power to regulate federal elections. And so, yes, it is particularly ironic given the arguments that I think have been wrong about Congress not being able to do this, but that somehow this should all be left with the states for including arguments that were made in response to President Biden's order on voting in the last administration for this president to go and attempt to do something that is a dramatic overreach to try to do things that he has no power to do in its executive order.
And so, but the main item, the headline is about ordering voters to show proof that they are U.S. citizens before they can register to vote. Why is that something that, you know, we have very little evidence that we have voting by non-U.S. citizens is something that's so rare, it's very difficult to find.
Yeah, states already have multiple systems in place to ensure that only eligible citizens are voting in our elections. And so what this requirement would actually do is just, it could block millions of citizens from voting. And that's because it more or less, and it depends on how you read it because it's actually, frankly, poorly written, but it can be read to basically say almost every person is going to have to show a passport to register and vote. And only about half of Americans have a passport, half of American citizens. So the effects could be pretty dramatic. There's a chance that you can read this to say that you could show a birth certificate. But number one, I don't know that you can read it that way, given that this same president has issued an EO saying there's no more birthright citizenship. And so if that's true, then birth certificates don't prove you're a citizen. But even if that is the case, there are 21 million Americans that don't have either a passport or a birth certificate handy. And so states already have systems in place to make sure that only citizens are voting in elections. What this would do is make sure lots of citizens can't vote in elections. And I think everyone should be upset about it.
So what was your reaction to the signing of this executive order? How did you read it?
I read it as an unconstitutional, unlawful attempt by the president to simultaneously restrict access to voting and continue his attempts to inject, false statements about the integrity of our elections into the public commentary on this. I saw it as an attempt by the president to do something by executive edict that I think Congress is going to be unable to do through legislation, because Congress is, of course, currently considering passing the SAVE Act, which would similarly require people to show like a birth certificate or a passport to register and vote. I don't think Congress will be able to get that done. I really think Congress should not do that. And it would be a sad low point in Congress's history on voting rights if it were to do that. But I think the president is trying to accomplish what Congress can't through an executive order when actually he has no authority to do this at all.
Do the courts have to rule that this executive order is unconstitutional or just on its face right now, or do they have to wait for a test case?
It's a good question. I imagine it's one that courts will be asked to answer in the near future. I think that to the extent that the order is telling agencies to take action immediately, I don't think, you know, the answer to that question depends on which part of the executive order you're talking about. But there are some parts of this order that, you know, effectively are in effect right now. The order says that the Elections Assistance Commission and the Secretary of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security and a number of agencies need to start taking certain actions. I don't think that this executive order is legal, and therefore I think it's of no legal effect in telling them to do that stuff, but it's telling them to do that now. So I don't think there's some need to wait and see what happens for courts to weigh in on the legality of this.
It can be tough to explain to people that the requirement ordering voters to show proof that they are U.S. citizens before they can register to vote is a problem. They think, well, of course, you know, I mean, we hear it as a right-wing talking point frequently that seems like a no-brainer. Of course, you should be able to prove that you're a U.S. citizen in order to vote. So how was it best to explain to people that is actually problematic?
I guess the first way I'd explain it to folks is ask them, like, do you have a passport and is it up to date? And if you needed to use it to register to vote today, could you do that? And I know the answer for half of American citizens is no. Only half of American citizens have a passport. So if that's really what this means, which is what it seems to mean, then half of us can't vote or can't register using the federal form under this executive order. And I don't think anyone thinks that is an appropriate result. If this is interpreted to mean you could also use a birth certificate, I would ask the same question. Do you have a birth certificate handy? If I asked you to produce it tomorrow in order to vote in the next election, would you be able to grab it? Does it have your current name on it? Because for a lot of married women, for instance, who have changed their names, that birth certificate's not going to be enough, even assuming you can show it.
So there are a lot of women who are worried about that point.
Yeah.
They think that this SAVE Act, which makes this point that your birth certificate needs to match your name when you go vote, that they see that as a deliberate attempt to keep women from being able to vote in the numbers that represent the numbers that we have in the country, mainly because of their concerns about reproduction rights.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know whether it's deliberate or not. I think it's wrong, regardless of whether it's deliberate. But yeah, there's a real reason to be worried about that. I mean, again, it's not even clear to me you could show your birth certificate under this executive order, but assuming you can, I think a lot of women are going to face this problem. And we've already seen this happen, by the way, because New Hampshire last year passed a law to require people to show documents like these in order to register. And they just had had elections a couple weeks ago, and there were a bunch of stories coming out of that election of people who were unable to vote and women who were caught in exactly this predicament. So I think this is absolutely something people should be considered about. If it's intentionally disenfranchising women for political reasons, that's despicable. But even if it's, you know, the result of poorly thought out policy and bad drafting, it's still completely wrong.
Well, that point is being made during the debate about this. And this is a question of whether or not people are listening to that argument being presented. And we're going to have to all re-register to vote if this is executive order is allowed to stand?
No, it doesn't require people who are already registered to re-register. But people do that all the time for a variety of reasons. So, you know, you move and you're in a new county and you got to register again. That millions of Americans register every year, even if they were already registered.
And then so they tell you, I got to go someplace. I got to go downtown with my passport.
So that is one distinction between this executive order and the SAVE Act. The SAVE Act makes very clear that you'd have to show these documents in person, which then effectively like blows up mail registration and online registration and all these things that so many millions of Americans use every year. This executive order doesn't say that. So it could be that you could mail in a copy, but it's still burdensome, right? It means that when you register to vote, you'd have to like go get a photocopy of your passport or maybe your birth certificate and the ID and then mail that in.
But to bottom line it, this is all really unnecessary because we don't actually have a problem of non-U.S. citizens voting in the elections.
It's absolutely unnecessary, and it's worse than unnecessary. It's going to really disrupt our elections, and it's one of a series of things this administration has already done that will disrupt our elections.
Sean Morales Doyle, he is the director of the Brenham Center for Justice's Voting Rights Program. Sean, thank you so much for coming on the board and talking to us. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back with this conversation. We're going to take it to a new direction. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're continuing our discussion about the executive order signed by Donald Trump this week that would require folks to have some sort of proof of citizenship in order to register to vote and other items. And now we're joined by Angelica Razo. She is with Mi Familia Vota, a National Deputy Director of Campaigns and Programs. And Angelica, welcome to The Source.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what are your concerns about this executive order that Trump has signed and about this SAVE Act that's trying to be passed by the Republican Congress?
Ooh, I mean, this is a big one, right? It directly impacts the work that we do as Mi Familia Vota in regards to increasing civic engagement in the Latino community, everything from voter registration to motivating voters to come out and vote and everything in between, right? All the voter education that goes to make that happen. And then we just see this as the most recent attempt to silence our voters and seize power in a very undemocratic way. And so for us, it's deeply concerning the impact it's going to have and really looking at like, how is this going to impact the work that we are doing as an organization, the conversations we're having with our voters, and is it going to disrupt the progress we've been making over the past decade, two decades, and increasing voter education in our community?
Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment, would you have no problem being able to prove that you're a U.S. citizen if you had to, when you go vote or register to vote, or do you see this as an unnecessary barrier for political gain? The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Angelica, do you think this is politics?
Absolutely. Again, it's the most recent attempt we're seeing to really take back power from our voters. We're an organization that does voter registration year-round. We are, 100% staying in compliance as an organization and understand what we have to do as an organization to make sure we're educating our voters. And then what role our local election offices play, right? There's already checks and balances to make sure that the voters that are getting registered to vote are U.S. citizens, right? So it goes everything from the conversations we have with our voters to ensure that they are only registering to vote if they are U.S. citizens, all the way to what is happening behind the scenes in our county election offices to 100% verify that.
And we spoke about it in the last segment, but there's concerns that the bill would say your name when you go register to vote has to match your birth certificate. And as we know, there's the practice that many women will change their names when they get married or when they get divorced. All sorts of things happen to people's names, that this would prevent them from being able to vote. Do you see that as something that is real, or is that just scare tactics? Is that something that needs to be talked about?
Absolutely. And I think I would say there's another layer of concern for our community in particular, where we have folks that in their home countries, particularly in Latin America, there's still a culture of having two last names, right? That in different countries recognized fully by their governments as two last names. And here in the United States, we just don't really have a system for recognizing that, right? And so we have had instances where women have registered to vote, have then become citizens, and sometimes their first last name gets dropped off, gets categorized under their middle name, right? Like, we are already seeing instances of that in the current system that we have. Now, when you add another layer of it, it just creates a bigger burden on women, on folks that are changing their names. And oftentimes what we see is they are not contacted to make that correction. They are just simply knocked off the voter rolls, or our election officials are not trained to understand that in a culturally competent way, folks show up to vote, they can't be found on the voter registration rolls, they get turned away, right? Like, that's a lot of the community education that we're doing to make sure that folks are doing everything that they can proactively to make sure that they know what they need to have in order. But we need a system that understands that, like, all those factors and is understanding of that versus completely just blocking someone's opportunity to vote. And in an executive order like this, that's making it even harder for folks to justify their, you know, the proof of citizenship, how they're showing up on voter rolls. And it's just, you know, voters have lives to live. And as we make it harder, they become less and less motivated to participate in a democracy that's clearly unwelcoming to them.
And so I'm sure if this stands, there will be people who are going to go at the polls, go to vote, and then they'll find out that they can't. I'm afraid those people won't be able to be counted in any way. I mean, we need to be able to recognize how frequently that is happening. Hopefully it never happens, and that this gets knocked down by the courts before we have an election. But we got to know about these. When people are denied the right to vote, how do we track that?
It's really hard, to be honest. You know, we have fantastic voter protection hotlines that are live during the entire election cycle. That works really well. I will tell you from the Mi Familia Vota side, in our, you know, the conversations we're having with voters year round or as we get ready for elections, is we often hear that they have had experiences like this several cycles ago.
Yeah.
And they are now just coming along to terms where, let me try again. But yeah, 8 years ago, I went to vote and I got blocked and I didn't know who to call. I didn't know how to report that. I felt like I was the person to blame. And that's often the sentiment that our voters for several years are carrying. And again, it takes organizations like Mi Familia Vota to do this voter education as much as we can to make sure that our voters are valued and that they know what steps they need to take should they be getting turned away
from
the
poll.
Right,
and they should know that they're being blocked or being oppressed or being suppressed. Let's go to Javier on the phones. And Javier, thanks for calling in. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, how you doing, Dave? Hey, I wanted to ask Angelica if this is true or not, but I heard that Texas had stricken thousands of people off the voting rolls who, not surprisingly, happened to be Negros and Chicanos because their handwriting didn't match or something to that effect. Something didn't jive, but that they didn't even have to let the people know that, hey, you, we struck you from the voting rolls. If she could confirm, or is that true?
Javier, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Angelica.
Yeah, absolutely. We have seen that typically in electoral cycles when we have changes in Secretary of States or something's happening at the state level. It's not uncommon that a state like Texas reviews its voter rolls and does what we call voter purges, which means that several folks are taken off time and time and again. And the most recent voter purges we've had that have been multiple in the past, you know, 6 to 8 years, it is largely Latino surnames that get identified. It is largely voters in the Black community that are making the majority of these voters that are getting taken off the rolls. It is unclear what what is required from the Secretary of State and county officials to notify these voters that they have been removed from the voter rolls. And so that is very concerning, right, to us, as we understand that there might be an instance where somebody needs to get taken off the voter roll. However, there's so much work that needs to go behind this to make sure that we are doing it accurately and not targeting people because of their race. And so, again, that's a lot of the work that we're having to do as a community organization. Let's make sure you are registered to vote far in advance of an electoral cycle. It shouldn't be like that. We expect government and the systems to work for our electorate, to understand that the electorate is changing and we have to meet that demand. And it is so hard in Texas to vote and to continue to stay registered. An executive order like this just adds even more burden to our Texan voters.
So do you see this as a move by the administration in order to avoid accountability from the voters?
Can you repeat that question? Sorry, I didn't hear.
Do you see this as a move by the Trump administration and by the Republican Party to avoid accountability from voters?
I think that's a piece of it, right? Like we should be building an electoral system where our electorate, the folks that are registered to vote, are representative of our constituents, of our civilians here. And that's dynamic and that's changing. When you enact executive orders like this, and making it harder, we know you're targeting particular sets of voters. You know that it's going to be harder for some voters to make their voices heard at the ballot box. And therefore, it is hard. It's going to be harder for them to hold you accountable. So, yes. And that does not mean that our voters don't have priorities that need to be met at a policy level. We continue to hear the issues that our community wants to see from the administration, and something like this just further is stifling their voices and their power.
And so, when there are cuts to programs like Social Security and national health care programs, all sorts of issues that rile up voters, but then they can't vote. I mean, you don't have to fear if the voters don't have a voice.
100%. So now we're seeing that, a political party tries to court your vote, and now you have a regime that's trying to keep you from voting. So what direction are we heading as a country, but, as a democracy? We can't call this a democracy if we are not giving the fair opportunity for everyone who is eligible to cast their vote.
And it also adds to the myth that, your vote doesn't count. If you think your vote doesn't count, then actually you're being voter suppressed.
Exactly. So, and I tell people, voter confusion, voter barriers, that's voter suppression.
And that's also deliberate.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
All right. Well, Angelica Razo is with Mi Familia Vota, the National Deputy Director of Campaigns and Programs, talking about the recent executive order signed by Donald Trump, which would require proof of citizenship when you register to vote. Thank you so much, Angelica, for talking to us today.
Thank you so much, Dave.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies. Tim Gutierrez is the show's producer. Additional production support from Steve Short, Ruben Garcia, Yvette Benavides, and Dan Katz. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.